from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Get down.
Third and 10. Dobbs the pump. Dobbs the throw. Separation outside. It's caught. Jacob Cowing right on cue. First and goal, San Francisco. 39-yard strike in the bucket for Cowing.
Now back to Overtime with Sterling Bennett and Mark Grandy on 95.7 The Game.
That was Adam Amin on Fox calling Josh Dobbs to Jacob Cowing for 38 yards down the right sideline, set up the Niners' only touchdown of the game, and ultimately they win this one over the New Orleans Saints by a final score of 16-10. Josh Dobbs led the way in that second quarter with that 38-yard strike to Jacob Cowing, and yeah, that was the little pump and go. Josh Dobbs, the little pump fake in the pocket. You get the corner on that island on the outside guarding the speedy Cowing. Just a second's worth of hesitation. Just a little bit. And then Sterling, Cowing's got that speed to allow that little moment of hesitation to be the reason you get beat. And it was on display there. And that those are the kinds of moments where you start to wonder, all right, Shanahan's mind might be running with the possibilities that he might be able to get this guy some action this season. He's not going to be obviously like a receiver that starts multiple games unless there are major injuries and is going to get like 500 yards receiving as a rookie. Like, of course, that's not going to happen unless something crazy takes place early in the season. But those are the kinds of moments these are the kinds of physical tools where you could see how he could fit in for a play or two, a game here or there, and he can make an impact, no doubt, on this team this year.
Jacob Cowing should be what McLeod was last year, the backup Debo.
Yeah, good point.
Where it's not going to be all-pro Debo. It's not going to be him grounding and pounding through players. Well, Cowing can do some of that stuff. It's more of a finesse game, more of a speed game. But we saw tonight that he can do the end around. We saw tonight that he can go deep and beat a fine cornerback, if you will. Like, Cowing has all of the necessary tools to succeed in the Shanahan offense. And I think while his role may not be pivotal to a Super Bowl, I think it definitely is going to help aid them. Whereas last year when Debo goes down, you have McLeod who, no offense to him, just, I don't know, he has speed, just not really a playmaker.
Yeah.
Cowing is much more of a, if I have to go to the outside, I will. If I have to go and make 3 guys miss, I can. That's something they didn't have. And to Joshua Dobbs' credit, I didn't know he could throw the ball that well. That was a missile.
It was.
To the right sideline, and it was a near perfect ball to the receiver going deep. And it's like, okay, like, I watched that Steelers game a couple days ago, last night. They might need a quarterback. Joshua Dobbs might fit because Fields and Wilson looked terrible, and Joshua Dobbs has looked stellar through the last 2 weeks of play.
Yeah. By the way, you brought up like someone else might need a player on the 49ers. That's a good point. And obviously Josh Dobbs, quarterbacks, you have someone that looks good in the preseason that's a backup or a third string guy for you. You get a quarterback needy team. Like the Vikings were the team that a lot of people theorized might be trying to trade for a quarterback, and maybe a reunion with Josh Dobbs because he was there last year. Once J.J. McCarthy underwent season-ending knee surgery, they appear to be fine with Sam Darnold. But the other position where the 49ers might have a desire to trade, if there's another team out there, Sterling, that needs a punter, Presley Harvin? Who the hell is this guy? Downing every single punt inside the 10-yard line? Three punts down inside the 10, one at the 6, one at the 5, one at the 8? This guy is putting a little bit of pressure on Mitch Wishnowsky to get back healthy because he's been incredible so far.
I guarantee you, Mitch walked over to Kyle and said, "Hey, I'm fine. I'm healthy now. I'm going, coach. Don't worry about it. I'm good. You can go ahead and cut him, please. My job needs to be secured." Presley Harvin, I believe a former Steelers punter, has looked stellar off of the scrap heap.
Yeah,
backup punter, whatever. But, I mean, he looks like the punt god. Everything is exactly where you want it to be. And it's like, how did the NFL, and look, it's a punter, we get that, but like, punters are valuable, very valuable.
Yes.
Shane Leckler played almost 20 years in Oakland because he was so good as a punter. Like, they're valuable. Andy Lee for a long time.
Yep.
You need punters in the NFL, and Presley Harvin, I'm sure, will find his way on a team some way after roster cuts happen, but I mean, man, talk about a weapon you can have on special teams. He was so good.
He was awesome.
We'll see how that goes as the season progresses, but anybody want a punter for a fourth-round pick? Please.
Yeah, if someone gets hurt, some punter gets hurt and is going to miss a decent amount of the regular season here in the next couple of weeks before the Niners got to get their roster down, I'm sure that would no doubt be a position the Niners would be willing to trade away from, because you know you're not carrying multiple punters with you into week number one. You're going to cut them when the time comes if you don't trade them away. So if someone is in need and is willing to trade you, I don't know, like you said, a fourth, maybe even a fifth, hell, a sixth round pick. Niners consistently turn those picks into all pros. Yeah, give me any of those guys. Give me any of those picks and we'll get a deal done. But yeah, I mean, it's preseason. We're talking about punters, but that's how good Presley Harvin was today. Hopefully that Mitch Wishnowsky recovers and it's not a major thing. He should be good and he should be fine for week number one, and maybe he's fine for preseason game number three, but something worth pointing out. To get back to Jacob Cowing, though, we do have Kyle Shanahan post-game talking about Jacob Cowing. Here's what the Niner head coach had to say about Jacob Cowing potentially opening the season with a role on this team, specifically as punt returner. Here's Shanahan.
Hey, I mean, we want to figure out whoever the best punt returner is on our 53. I mean, he looked pretty good today. We drafted him hoping that he could have the potential to do it. And tonight was really the first time that we were able to get him out there. And, you know, he's had a week of being healthy, so he's definitely got a chance to. But tonight was a step in the right direction.
That's exactly what you're talking about, Sterling. Even if it's not necessarily consistent wide receiver snaps, Cowing is going to have most likely a role on this team from day one because he's going to be your punt returner. Very well could be your kick returner, and that's a position that is valuable. You know, they're not necessarily going to make or break your team. I guess they can break your team if you muff and fumble punts or kickoffs, which we've experienced as Niner fans. Sorry to bring up terrible memories, but he's going to have a role on this team from day one, no doubt, and that's not something that most rookies can say going into the season.
It's very rare that Kyle will praise a rookie player. It's very rare he'll also play a rookie player.
True.
And he has praised Dominic Pooney last week. He also has praised Cowing this week. Now, again, it's preseason week number two. We shall see how things play out. But I have a weird, sneaky feeling this may be a draft class. If I want to project, it might be as impactful as 2019 was. Now, that was Nick Bosa, and that was Debo and Dre Greenlaw, and I get that. Those are three phenomenal players, all pro, near Pro Bowl players every single year.
You're leaving out the punt god himself, Mitch Wishnowsky, from that draft. Fourth round.
You're right. See, punters do go in the fourth round, so any team needs a punter. But this draft class, potential-wise, has the chance to be equal, near, if you will, that 2019 class in regards to how impactful they can be in setting this roster up for success in the next wave of stars. And that starts with, you know, Pearsall and Renardo Green and Jacob Cowings, but also Dominic Pooney, who Niner fans have fallen in love with him so quickly. You hear him talk, he reminds you of Joe Staley, just so energetic and happy to be in the room and, you know, wants to have a good time, albeit he's not playing left tackle. Dominic Pooney just feels like a pro, and he seems to take things in stride. Where guys get overwhelmed, they're rookies, they get in the doghouse, they lose their confidence. Dominic Pooney's like, hey, I'm just happy to be here, man. I'm in the NFL, we're having a good time. And that really reminds me of Joe Staley, where, yeah, Staley was phenomenal, could be a Hall of Famer one day, but he was just happy to be there every single day.
Okay, you brought up Pooney. We got to talk about this. We both had circled one particular play that stood out. It's probably the same play. For me, Sterling, and you can just let me know if it is the same play, it was the third and goal from the one-yard line right before the Josh Dobbs touchdown run on fourth and goal from the one. Is that the same play?
Yes.
Okay, so... So Pooney at right guard, third and goal from the one, final like 10 seconds of the first half. Three down linemen for the Saints. Pooney's lined up opposite one of the guys on the outside, on, of course, the left side of the D-line, the right side of the offensive line. And the pass rusher there, I don't know what Saint player it was, but essentially running kind of a stunt. He does not rush right at Pooney. He runs around and then cuts around the right tackle, Colton McKivitz. But Pooney begins blocking him, gives him a little bit of a shove to the outside. The pass rusher kind of is willing to go that way based on how that defense was drawn up, and basically just runs right past McKivitz. I'm not really sure what McKivitz was doing in that moment. He did not have very good footwork, allowed this pass rusher, to get right around him. So he has the edge, and he has a straight line right to the quarterback, Josh Dobbs, who's looking in the end zone, has no idea that this pass rusher is coming. Pooney suddenly, because there's only a three-man rush, has no one to block, because the guy that he thought he was going to block just ran away from him and got around McKivitz. He takes a second, looks for any other potential rushers or any other potential guys he can block, like literally a split second, sees no one, and immediately, instinctively, Sterling takes a spin around his left shoulder. His back is currently to the pass rusher, who has since gotten around McKivitz, and he spins off his left shoulder and cuts off the pass rusher before he can get to Josh Dobbs and just shoves him away. Like a spin move, he knows what this pass rusher is doing without even seeing where he is. He knows exactly where he is. He takes a split second to decide, I've got to help on the edge. He spins, makes a beeline for that spot, and cuts him off before he can get to Josh Dobbs. That, Sterling, does not look like anything I've seen a Niners rookie offensive lineman do in a very, very long time. We talked about it before we went to break. The instincts there, how natural the game comes to him, I guarantee you, if it hasn't happened already, it's going to happen soon. The Niners offensive line group, Chris Kocurek and company and everyone involved in this entire coaching staff, they're going to use that piece of tape and they're going to show it to the entire offensive line group, because that was a special, special play. It ultimately resulted in an incomplete pass because Trent Taylor couldn't haul in a pass in the end zone. It was deflected just barely, not all on Trent Taylor. It's not a sexy play because it resulted in no gain, but Dominic Pooney with an awesome rep, and for a rookie offensive lineman, Sterling, to do that, eye-opening. And as you said, it just kind of makes it seem like this dude went under everyone's radar in the draft, and he seems destined to be a starter and kind of answer this team's questions at right guard.
There's a reason Dominic Pooney caught the eye of Kyle Shanahan. Yes, the 4-4 shuttle time helps, the 7.473 cone. Obviously, his athletic ability is there. But then you go back into his college stats, 25 straight games, nearly 1,600 snaps at Kansas, not a single sack allowed, only allowed 4 pressures in 2 seasons at Kansas. didn't allow a single sack or quarterback hit in 324 pass-blocking snaps. That's college Dominic Pooney. You can see the high intellect now in the NFL where, yes, he's a rookie. Yes, he'll make mistakes. There'll be a play where we're just like, yeah, the defensive tackle bodied him up and blew right by him. It's going to happen. That's the NFL. But to have the intellect, the wherewithal, to push off the rushing edge rusher, push him off to your right tackle, realize, oh, crap, he wasn't ready for him.
He's now going to get around my offense.
Spin all the way around and pick up the slack. You know, a lot of times, in whether you're a child or you're working, if you're not doing something and your response is, well, my job is done, your boss will tell you, well, help somebody else. Go be a team player.
Yep.
Dominic Pooney's a team player. He wants to pick up the slack. You know, I used to work at Walmart right out of college. And I'll tell you what, I respect the Walmart workers a heck of a lot more now than I used to.
I'm sure.
But I'll tell you what, it was if the chemicals aren't done and the vitamins aren't done and whatever else, the paper's not done, if you finish your section, if you're in the dog food section, you're going to get your butt over there and help those guys out as well. That's Dominic Pooney. He's finished his job. He's going to go help you out now too. And I think when you want to win a Super Bowl, yes, you need, you know, high IQ. Yes, you need to have the ability to pass block and not allow sacks. But ultimately, you need to have players that want to get their hands dirty and help the guy next to them. Spencer Burford doesn't seem to have all of that put together. John Feliciano is a phenomenal run blocker, isn't a great pass blocker. Dominic Pooney's a rookie, but the high effort is on display every single day. Whether it is in run blocking and pass blocking, helping out Colton McKivitz, who I know Niner fans are saying he needs it a lot. Like, you may have someone that can guide him in the right direction or limit the sacks he gives up. Not every single game, but maybe a couple critical plays, Dominic Pooney saves the day. And in this case, in the red zone, he may have saved a sack. He may have saved a timeout from having to be called and ultimately saved you a touchdown.
At the very least, he saved your quarterback from getting hit. Like, I think Dobbs is getting that ball off, but he's getting hit, and who knows if that hit results in an injury or not. Like, that could be the difference in Brock Purdy staying healthy or not. A single play like that. That's how brutal this sport is, but that is a potential moment where your quarterback gets hurt if Pooney does not make that play. And I agree with everything that you're talking about. And of course, this was Dobbs in at this moment, but I'm speaking if it happens in a regular season game, it would be Brock Purdy back there. And that kind of effort might be the difference in him staying healthy or not. To add on though to what you're saying, I don't think it's just as simple as this is a guy who's willing to help out everybody else. It's great to be willing to do that, but it's also, are you capable of doing that? Like, some people just aren't capable right, of doing that. Like, I did my job. I have no one to block. This is great. I won my rep. Congrats. Like, yeah. I did it. Like, yeah, no one's rushing against me. This is an easy rep for me. And I think a lot of people, specifically a lot of rookies, wouldn't even know, Sterling, wouldn't even have the wherewithal to spin off your left shoulder. The pass rusher, he's in your blind spot. He's behind you. You can't see him. To spin and then make a sprint to cut off his path to the quarterback, you could want to help your right tackle. It could be the one thing you want to do in this game. Not everyone has the instinct and the ability to know what is needed in that moment, and he just seems to get it. It's what I was talking about before we went to break. The game just seems to come naturally to him. Like, he's in the right spot at the right time. He has good footwork. Like, the footwork between McKivitz and Pooney on this rep alone, oh my God. Pooney's footwork was incredible. McKivitz seemed like he almost tripped over his own foot, and it's why the pass rusher got around him. Like, it was night and day between those two. And McKivitz, you know, he's not a world beater. He's not going to be a Pro Bowler at right tackle. He's a serviceable right tackle, okay? Like, league average, maybe a little. Like, he's not special, but he's not terrible. He's not one of the worst right tackles in the NFL. There are certainly better. There are certainly worse. But the difference in just, and it's just one rep, obviously, we could pick and choose. There are reps where Pooney gets beat. There are reps where McKivitz looks great and Pooney looks bad. Like, we are cherry picking at one particular moment here, but Pooney is a rookie. And for him to have that kind of instincts, it just makes you excited about what could potentially be to come as he continues to develop his body and as he continues to test himself against NFL pass rushers and against NFL defensive tackles. You just can imagine that this is a guy that's going to continue to improve, and it's exciting, Sterling, to finally have not just a right guard, but a drafted offensive lineman that you feel like could have an impact, a positive impact on this team this early in his career, because it has been a long, long, long time since any of us 49er fans have felt good about any of the offensive linemen this team has drafted.
What do you think the reaction will be if he doesn't start week one against the Jets? For as good as he's been, for as hyped up as he's been and how well he's performed, if John Feliciano is healthy and is out there week number one against the Jets, what's the reaction?
A lot of confusion. Because he's looked... I mean, honestly, I wouldn't be terribly shocked, because for as much fun as we poke at the offensive line, Feliciano was pretty darn good last year. Like, we can be honest about that. Feliciano was not bad at all.
I don't probably win the Super Bowl if he's out there.
Probably. This is that one rep at the very end of regulation, and it resulted in a field goal instead of a touchdown, and who knows how that game goes otherwise. Sorry to bring up more bad memories, although that was really you. I just filled in the blanks. But it's not as if Feliciano was a player the Niners went into this offseason saying, this is the guy we need to replace. Feliciano was very, very good. They probably did not expect Pooney to be this good immediately. Obviously, they drafted him for a reason. But I would imagine if you were to ask Shanahan on draft day, who's your starting right guard, he probably says Feliciano. Now you might be rethinking that because Pooney's been so good and Feliciano hasn't been healthy yet. To answer your question, I wouldn't be terribly shocked, but I would imagine if that does happen, there's going to be quite a lot of noise from the fan base who doesn't really understand what's going on, because Pooney has been maybe the star in terms of the rookie class. In terms of surprises, it has been Pooney, I think, so far this preseason and training camp.
I'd agree. I think that if Pooney's not playing week number one or starting week number one, Pearsall not starting doesn't surprise me. Healthy or not, makes sense. Ayuk will hopefully be there. Debo and Juwan are your top three. Renardo Green starting, okay, you have Yadam, you got Ward, and you got Lenore. That makes sense. Cowing's a backup receiver. Grendo's not playing over Christian McCaffrey. Cool. You're not starting Bethune over Warner or Campbell or Winters or even Curtis Robinson, who had a phenomenal game today.
Yep, good point.
Like, but Dominic Pooney has a clear-cut path to starting week number one as a rookie over the rest of the entire class, and he's performed better than all of them throughout training camp and through two preseason games, and has shown on tape and also shown just in highlights in itself. Like, I think if we treated quarterbacks, or if we treated offensive linemen like quarterbacks and put their highlights on Twitter, Dominic Pooney would be the Caleb Williams of this class. He's been that good, and he's put up that many highlights where it's, okay, like, how can you not play this kid? I get it. You play the vet, and then if he struggles, put the rookie in. I totally get that. That's how people play quarterbacks, whether it's Jimmy and Trey or whoever else. Like, there's a reason why Gardner Minshew was starting in Vegas, not Aiden O'Connell. You start the vet and go to the rookie. But ultimately, it's like, who helps you win now? Pooney hasn't shown you anything to say he'll struggle, so why not play him? That would be my kind of, I love you, Kyle, but Pooney's looked pretty darn good.
We'll put it this way. If it's Spencer Burford starting at right guard week one,
with a broken hand,
then we got some problems, some major problems. Unless there's injuries elsewhere, that's not going to happen. Feliciano, Pooney, I guess I could understand either, but in terms of my Niner excitement, and as a Niner fan, who do I want to see? There's no doubt it's Dominic Pooney, because, I mean, you look, and we've been talking about draft classes a lot. We talked about it on draft night, of course, and we've talked about it the first two preseason games here on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. You look at the Niners' history, this regime's history of drafting offensive linemen, Sterling, it is terrible. Absolutely terrible. Yeah. Mike McGlinchey, who was the first round pick for the Niners in the second year, second draft of the Shanahan-Lynch era, Mike McGlinchey, and he was fine for you. He started almost every single game in his, what, like five or six seasons with the team. And then you have just a who's who of who the hell are you? Aside from Aaron Banks. And really, I say a who's who. Like, you don't even have that many. You have Aaron Banks in 2021 after not drafting an offensive lineman in 2020 or an offensive, I guess you did draft one in 2019 in Justin School. But that's just, okay. You know, not terrible, but not great. The other offensive linemen you drafted are Spencer Burford and Nick Zakel in 2022.
Yikes.
Yeah, you did not draft a single offensive lineman last year. And then it's this year, Dominic Cooney, and later on you drafted Jarrett Kingston. Like, first of all, you don't have many drafted offensive linemen. And second of all, when you have drafted, at the best they've essentially become, aside from Mike McGlinchey, at best they've essentially become spot start guys, who you hope you don't really need to play unless you have injuries. And if they are playing, you're a little worried at that part of the offensive line because they haven't shown any reason to have confidence in them. One of them, Nick Zakel, started today. You talked a lot about Jalen Moore. Zakel was very bad as well. So the excitement as a Niner fan, Sterling, it is palpable with Dominic Cooney because it is a position that we have been so starved of, offensive linemen. And it's awesome to see him playing this well. All right, we got to hit a quick break. When we come back, we got more Kyle Shanahan talking post-game about this one. He's talking about Brock Purdy and why he put him out there for three drives, why he took so many hits. We also got Brock Purdy talking about that. We can come back and hear from Shanahan and Brock on the other side. We've got 30 minutes left with you. We will also hand out game balls, as we always do here on Overtime. That's coming up on the other side. It's Sterling Bennett, Mark Randy with you. More OT next on 95.7.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In the game.
Yeah. finished off. T.Y. McGill Jr. was in on it. A little bit of help from Alex Barrett. They're going to say that ball came out, and indeed, oh, Barrett helps get the takeaway for San Francisco.
Now back to Overtime with Sterling Bennett and Mark Grandy on 95.7 The Game.
That was Adam Amin on Fox calling Alex Barrett with a strip sack, and he recovered the football himself. Alex Barrett, entering his third year out of San Diego State, has spent some time with the Niners practice squad, a reserve defensive lineman, with a nice moment there. Good for him. One of the storylines, Sterling, and welcome back to Overtime. It's Grandy and Sterling with you here on 95.7 The Game. One of the storylines leading into this game, it was an unfortunate one because one of the few defensive line, I don't know if star is the right word, but one of the players who had a nice moment in week number one of the preseason was Khalia Davis, who had the team's only sack against the Titans. He has since underwent surgery and will miss a decent chunk of the year. Kyle Shanahan said maybe around midseason, but we don't really know exactly how long Khalia Davis will be out. So one of the questions for the Niners entering the rest of the preseason, Sterling, was who else is going to fill in on the defensive line? Because you're going to need some guys. I'm not saying that I think Alex Barrett's going to have an impact on the team this year, but that had to feel nice for him, knowing that there's an opening. You get a strip sack and you recover the ball yourself. A nice moment for Alex Barrett.
Would I be wrong to say this is the weakest depth they've had edge rusher since 2019?
Yeah, it's not great.
Like,
you got Leonard Jonathan Floyd Garvin's, and Nick Bosa, and then,
which is fine. It's great.
You got Yeter Gross Matos.
Upside,
and then
sure.
You've got Robert Beal?
Jonathan Garvin? Nobody else?
Yeah, that's about it.
And the reason that I bring that up is because for a player like Alex Barrett, who many fans may not know, or if they do know him, it's simply just a training camp body or preseason hero, if you will, he has a chance to make the roster. Drake Jackson's out for the entire year, not even going to play a snap with the knee injury. Like, there is an opportunity for players like Shaquel Brown, who almost caused a fumble today, and then players like Alex Barrett, who did cause a fumble and got it back and recovered it. Like, these depth guys who we may shrug off and say, who's that? Well, it's nobody. The preseason body. No, those guys could be your fifth edge rusher this year and could play maybe a meaningful game here or there, or be in late in the third quarter when Nick Bosa's tired or Leonard Floyd's tired or someone gets hurt. So it may sound meaningless, but for a player like Barrett, plays like that are what help him make a roster where he could be a player this year for us.
Yeah, no doubt. It's certainly an area to keep in mind. I mentioned Khalia Davis, who's going to be out for a decent chunk of the regular season. He's a defensive tackle. We're talking more about edge rushers, and that's what Alex Barrett is. But you've also got a little bit of an opening at the defensive tackle spot. Your starters, of course, are going to be Malik Collins and Javon Hargrave. Assuming health, they will be the starters in the middle on the defensive line. Beyond that, without Khalia Davis, you're going to be relying on guys like Kevin Givens, Jordan Elliott, T.Y. McGill. T.Y. McGill had a couple of nice reps. He was in on that sack as well that Alex Barrett had that you just heard Adam Amin on Fox call. But you're going to have to rely on a number of guys that haven't really ever proven it at the NFL level before now. And someone out of that group is going to have to step up and have an impact on this team, because you're going to need bodies. If the Niners in the past years are any indicator, you need depth at those spots. And while maybe the Niners, you could argue this is one of the better maybe starting groups of four that they've had in a while. I mean, Leonard Floyd is a proven pass rusher, and he's been really good at that spot for his entire NFL career, and it's been a decent career now. That's a good person to pair on the opposite side of Nick Bosa. And Javon Hargrave, if he gets back to the level he was at a couple of years ago, you know, that kind of fills in the Eric Armstead hole. And Malik Collins, a gigantic body you got from the Texans. You could see that being a pretty fearsome group of four, Sterling. But beyond that, you have a lot of guys who just, you're not really sure what you're going to get. And there's a ton of room for two, three, four of those guys to take a major step forward in their career this season. I think a lot of people are pointing at Robert Beal Jr., who is a recent draft pick, who you hope you're going to get something out of. I mean, he was drafted in the fifth round just last year, so entering his second season. played four games last year. If he takes a step forward, that will go a long way into deepening that group. But we're going to look back, say, come like week six, Sterling, we're going to look back and say, wow, this was the guy we didn't really expect to have an impact. It's just a matter of the Niners finding who that guy is yet, because you know you're going to need it. You're desperately going to need it at some point. You just don't know where it's going to come from.
I think that same conversation translates to the linebacker room, where you have Fred Warner, All-Pro Fred. You have Devondre Campbell, who I think, although made his preseason debut today, played pretty well. You know, wasn't you know, out there making spectacular plays, but was wrapping up tackles and doing his job. But Curtis Robinson, who has been on this practice squad the last couple years, he has been the primary backup Mike linebacker, competing with Demetrius Flanagan-Falls during training camp and practice. Curtis Robinson had the best game of his NFL career thus far, which consists of practice squad elevations and preseason. But for a team desperately looking for backup linebackers that are not just cannot just play Mike linebacker, but can also be put in a position where they may have to start and they're not going to blink. D. Winters didn't play today, so no knock on him. He looked phenomenal last week, obviously some ups and some downs, but ultimately a really big up for him against Tennessee in week one. But Curtis Robinson knows this defense. He's played with Fred and Dre Greenlaw for a handful of years on the practice squad. And today, that all that work had looked to kind of come out and be put on the slate and say, here's what I can do. And I think he's better to me than Demetrius Flanagan-Falls. He's outplayed players like Jalen Graham, who continues to struggle in pass coverage, and even players like Tatum Bethune, who I love Bethune. I think he'll be a player in a year or so, but you need a body now. And I think Curtis Robinson can be the Alex Barrett of the linebacker room of, hey, you've been here for a couple of years. You've been hanging around, being a water boy, right? Go out there and play. And I think he can actually prove his worth and kind of prove the Niners right to keep him around and not cut him the past couple of years.
Yeah, I think if we were to maybe talk about, we talked a lot about what Jacob Cowling did today, and he obviously, I think, already had a roster spot, but 100% solidified it, and he has a role. If we're maybe to try to find his counterpart on defense from today, who took the biggest step forward potentially, who gained the most trust from the coaching staff today on the defensive side of the ball, I think you're right. I think it's Curtis Robinson. I mean, I think he locked up a roster spot with his performance today. He was awesome. He was all over the place in this one. He had an awesome day. And, you know, we put a list together of players whose stock went up today, players whose stock went down today. We talked about a lot of them already. Aside from Curtis Robinson, who you just mentioned, the only other who's on my stock up list, I put Pooney on there, I put Cowling on there, I put Josh Dobbs on there, Curtis Robinson, the other. And while it wasn't necessarily the greatest day in terms of like, oh, he had a pass broken up and he had an interception, I thought Renardo Green took a step forward today simply because he had a number of one-on-one matchups, Sterling, with a legitimate number one wide receiver in Chris Olave. Chris Olave, definitely the best receiver in New Orleans, top 10, top 15 receiver in the NFL. You give him legitimate, consistent quarterback play and you will see how good he is. He is awesome. Just one of many Ohio State wide receivers who are in the league right now that are incredible. He's one of them. Renardo Green matched up with him consistently, only gave up one decent gain. It was over the middle. He had one pass breakup on the outside. It wasn't the best throw, but he was there and knocked it away. I thought as well, Sterling, Renardo Green had a decent showing. He doesn't have like the highlight reel plays that, say, Alex Barrett did with the sack and the strip and the recovery and Curtis Robinson blowing through the line and getting a tackle for loss. But Renardo Green, solid, I don't think did anything in a negative way that hurts his chances. Obviously, he's making this roster. We know that. But that maybe makes him take a step back in the eyes of this coaching staff. I thought Renardo Green, against a legit number one wideout, held his own. And for a rookie, that's pretty impressive.
While, like you said, he didn't have, you know, the amazing play, didn't have the fumble recovery or forced fumble, I think when you look at the situations in which he flourished, it kind of changes your mind and say he actually did have a stellar game, or he did have a highlight play. You know, if you wanted to take how the starting offense played and put that in a regular season game, they go two drives, They don't do anything. They can't score. Not moving the ball. They're stuck in the mud, which is how this team has played. Go back to the Philadelphia game last year, where they're not doing much. They're kind of like, they're looking for an answer, someone to pick them up. The Saints have the ball. It's third down, third and seven. You want to get the offense the ball back as soon as you can and get your defense off the field. Great teams get off the field on third down. It's third and seven. Renardo Green locks up the receiver, plays the receiver, not the ball, plays through the whistle, knocks the ball out of his hands, and forces the Saints to have a three and out. That's situational football that helps you win games. Yes, it wasn't a fumble recovery. Yeah, it wasn't a forced fumble or an interception, but it allows your offense to get the ball back in good field territory, good field position. Right, the Saints are at their 30-ish yard line, 34-yard line. The play before you, Jair Brown lights up the ball carrier, Taysom Hill in the backfield, and then you stop him on third and seven. Immediately, in a regular season setting, you give Brock Purdy and Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk and Kittle and Trent Williams the ball on probably their own 35, 40-yard line. Yeah. That's how you win games in the NFL. I thought Green, in the absence of Isaac Yiadom, the assumed opposite starter of Ward and Lenore, he made a statement. Like, this was a game where, hey, if the guy in front of you is not there, go take a spot. I'm not saying he did that, but he definitely helped his cause. And probably being this team's fourth cornerback walking into week one.
Yeah. Yeah, and then, I mean, you talk about him. We already talked about Dominic Pooney, and we talked a lot about Malik Mustafa specifically after game one. He didn't have the highlight plays that he had a week one, but he wasn't bad by any stretch either today. We talked a lot about Cowing. Those are all draft picks from this class, and it doesn't include the first overall, your first round pick in Ricky Pearsall, who hasn't played yet, but who Shanahan said probably ready and good to go. He's day-to-day now. Maybe we see him preseason game number three. Talked a little bit about Tatum Bethune, who I know you're a fan of, linebacker, seventh round pick from Florida State. Jarrett Kingston coming in, playing some offensive line. He was a sixth round pick. Isaac Garendo, same boat as Pearsall. Maybe he comes back and he plays preseason week number three. It's early, of course, but you really don't have a lot of negatives to say about any of these picks so far, other than the guys who haven't played because of injury. That's the only thing up to this point. And again, it's very, very early. We don't know exactly how these players are going to turn out, but you start going down the list and you've got legitimate reasons backed up for a lot of these guys by what you've seen on the field in games, reasons to be excited about, and it's why this draft class has an ability to elevate this roster, not just this year, but be maybe a reason why once Brock Purdy is making $55, $60 million a season, why this roster can continue to be one of the best in the NFL because of draft classes that look like this one does right now, which is a really good one. And that's good news for the 49ers because we spend a lot of time kind of making fun of some of their draft classes in recent memory. They can't afford another one like that. And the early returns on this one, no doubt, are good. All right, we got like 10 minutes left here of overtime on 95.7 The Game. We will get to game balls. But let's hear a little bit more from Kyle Shanahan. One of the bigger stories of this game, Brock Purdy playing without many other offensive starters, played the entire first quarter, three drives. He got 12 yards on 11 plays. He finished the day 2 for 6, 11 yards, no turnovers, no interceptions, no touchdowns either. Kyle Shanahan was asked about Brock Purdy's performance today. Here's what he said.
I mean, there were two frustrating drives, just three and out. I don't think there was much there when he had it. I had a chance to make a big play on a keeper going back across, but not enough plays. You know, there weren't really any good looks for him either.
Yeah, too small of a sample size, says Kyle Shanahan. What about Shanny? You played him without any offensive starters. What was that about?
Yeah, you always think about that stuff. If we thought it was an issue, we wouldn't have done it. We were good with the guys out there. You know, Brock wouldn't have gone, probably wouldn't have played Jake. You know, definitely would have had Colton and Jalen go as long, but we felt good with the group.
Felt good with the group. But you got him out there with a couple of starters on the offensive line, Sterling, and that's just about it. It was Cody Schrader who was starting at a running back. One of the things we haven't talked about was Jordan Mason did not play today. He was one of the offensive stars from preseason game number one. But yeah, I mean, we don't need to look too much into Brock Purdy's stat line in this game or how it looked, because for the most part, he's out there with backups because the offensive line was what? Jalen Moore, Nick Sakel, Jake Brown, Brendel, Dominic Pooney, and Colton McKivitz. That could turn out to be three starters come week one, Brendel, Pooney, and McKivitz. But that left side of the offensive line was doing him no favors, and his pass-catching group wasn't really getting open either. So I think this is more about maybe the others as opposed to Brock Purdy.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody takes away anything negative towards Brock after preseason game week two, but for him, number one, when he has none of his weapons out there, just take a hike. Like, just go outside, touch some grass, call it a day.
Take a deep breath.
And it's not like he's a one-year wonder coming in to prove himself again. He's had two just phenomenal years back-to-back, and they've gotten better each time. And could you maybe assume regression here or there? It's pretty hard to repeat a top five MVP finalist here every single year. But even then, once he gets the full cast of characters around them, you're not going to have Trent Taylor and Cowing and Ronnie Bell and Tay Martin and Cam Latu and Braden Willis. Yeah. You're going to have the all-pros around him to elevate the offense and hopefully give him something to work with, because I mean, you hate to say it. I mean, the Niners' offense without those guys, and obviously it'll look this way, looks really bad. Like, really bad without their stars.
Yeah.
Shocker.
No doubt. No doubt. One more from Kyle Shanahan. One of the red flags of this game was the hits that Brock Purdy took. Kyle, were you worried? Did he take too many hits today?
Yeah, I mean, you think about that all the time, but you know, it's also part of football, and I think he protects himself well. If we felt he was in a tough situation, we wouldn't have, but you know, a lot of quarterbacks play throughout the league, and each week's different. I think it helps Brock to play, and you know, last year he didn't get to as much with his arm, but I thought it was good for him to get out there, even though it wasn't two great drives. And I know he was really wanting to do it, and hopefully it'll make him a better position for this when we go to the Raiders.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is he did not get hurt despite taking a few hits. He's healthy. Maybe those hits, if you don't get hurt by them, you can pass them off as a good thing. It gets you kind of up and ready for the physicality of regular season football once again. But I know you and I were both a little surprised when he trotted back out for his third drive. What did Brock himself think? Brock, you think you should have stayed on the sideline for drive number three?
No, I mean, like I said, it's part of the game and stuff. So for me, I'm not out there freaking out about, oh my gosh, I'm not trying to get hit. That's not football. You know, if I'm stepping out in the field, then obviously I know what's at stake in terms of it's a physical game. It's fast. Things happen. You're going to get hit. You're going to fall to the ground. So I know that. But at the same time, am I going to do some crazy scrambling and you know, make up some stuff to try to move the ball? So you do. You got to be smart in that sense. So
there we go. And Brock Purdy was smart enough. I mean, he avoided the hits when he could, but I would like him not to take those hits.
He also ran around for a little bit, then threw a ball across his body, almost got picked off, then not for Eric Saubert, and then also got hit in the process. So it's like, yes, Brock, everything you said, correct. Everything you did, doesn't really align with what you said. It probably goes back to just Brock being a baller. Once the ball is snapped, it's just, the head turns off. He's like, we're just playing football. Let's go have some fun. But it's like, hey, man, like, we need you for the next 18 weeks. Let's not ruin that week number two.
Yes, please. We definitely need him to stay healthy. All right. That's all from Kyle Shanahan and Brock Purdy earlier tonight. Takeaways from Brock Purdy. Not the best day offensively from him, but it's preseason game number two. Who cares? He's not out there with any of his weapons offensively. He's playing with a running back that's probably not even going to make the roster. And you've got out there not Deebo Samuel, not George Kittle, not Brandon Ayuk, not even Juwan Jennings. So it's much to do about nothing if anyone out there is worried about Brock Purdy. All right, Sterling, we got about 5 minutes left. We got to do what we always do, hand out game balls. Let's each Well, let's start with one each. One on offense, one on defense. If we've got time and room for more, we can do more. I'll allow you to start. Give us your first game ball. Niners on offense. Who deserves a game ball from today's 16-10 preseason week number 2 win over the New Orleans Saints, Sterling?
I think there's two pretty clear answers here. I'm going to hopefully steal yours. I'm going to say Jacob Cowing.
I was one of them, yeah.
Making his NFL debut in the preseason, touched the ball 5 total times, 70 yards as a whole, almost had a touchdown, had a 19-yard end-around for a massive chunk gain, almost 20 yards, doing some Debo Samuel-like things. Then in the receiving game, 4 receptions on 5 targets, a 38-yard near touchdown pass towards the right sideline, showing the electricity he can bring to an offense. They asked him in the postgame about the end-around. He goes, I've been doing that my entire life, and I hope he continues to do that for the San Francisco 49ers this year, so he gets my first game ball of the offensive side.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I was certainly going to pick that one if you didn't. I'll go with the other obvious one. I think you had also highlighted this one. It's Josh Dobbs, who it seems like has a major step up on the QB2 battle right now. He goes 12 for 21. 21 pass attempts in the second quarter alone. That was impressive. 133 passing yards, no touchdowns through the air. Did not turn it over, but did rush for one touchdown on a 4th-and-1. Read option play, faked the handoff, kept it himself, broke one arm tackle, used his offhand to stay upright, and he dove into the end zone for the Niners' only touchdown of the game. Josh Dobbs was very good in that second quarter, and he gets a game ball from me as a result. He led the Niners offensively. That was their best offensive quarter by a mile, and they win the game 16-10. So game balls on offense, Jacob Cowing and Josh Dobbs, both very deserving. Sterling, what about on the defensive side of the football? Who deserves a game ball on defense for the Niners tonight?
On the defense, I think there is a clear-cut, singular answer, and that is Curtis Robinson. He played the Mike linebacker position today, wore the green dot. That is the most important position on defense, and Nick Sorensen trusts him. The box score is not going to blow you away. 4 total tackles, 1 tackle for loss, 1 quarterback hit, and 1 pass deflection. Again, no interceptions, no takeaways, but ultimately playing a clean bill of football. Also, again, early downs in drives when you can get in the backfield and you can tackle ball carriers behind the line of scrimmage, giving the opposition 3rd and long, 2nd and long, and keeping your defense in good positions to make plays. That's what Curtis Robinson did all day long. He blew by Chris Olave on one play and got to the ball carrier in the backfield. And it's like, okay, like,
it was Taysom Hill in the backfield for a loss of a yard. He absolutely sent him backwards. It was a nice hit.
Like, Curtis Robinson, for the lack of name value he may have on this roster that has Fred and Dre and Devondre and other players, you know, Curtis Robinson coming along nicely to kind of secure the back end of that linebacker room up, and today was his best showing so far in 2 or 3 seasons on the roster.
Yeah, I like that pick. That's a good one. I'm going to go with Tatum Bethune, also a linebacker. 7th-round pick out of Florida State, led this team in tackles in the preseason, you know, team leader stats, maybe a little bit influenced just by who was playing the most snaps, and he played a ton of snaps, so that's part of the reason. But 9 tackles, had a tackle for loss. He was all around the ball whenever he was in the game, and that's what you want to see from your linebackers. I thought he had a really nice day. I know there's been some positive buzz for him in camp. I think that will pick up after a performance like today. He seems to be a ball hawk. He's around the ball all the time, so he gets the game ball for me on defense. That might be a little bit out of the blue. There's some others. Jalen Graham, I know, had some moments, had a sack in this game, which was good to see. We talked a little bit earlier about Renardo Green, who I thought had a really nice game, matched up against a number one receiver in Chris Olave. But I thought Bethune, 7th-round pick out of Florida State, not expecting a ton from him this preseason, but through 2 games, Sterling, I've largely been impressed by Bethune and what he's done.
I think he leads the team in tackles in preseason thus far with 18. So he definitely...
9 a game. Here we go.
While playing cleanup duty, if you will, in the second half, when you're around the ball that much and you're making tackles, you're either Blake Martinez and you're a tackle vulture and not actually that good. Shout out Green Bay and New York Giants, Pokemon trader card guy. But also, you're in the right place at the right time a lot. That feels like that is Bethune more than being Blake Martinez 2.0.
Yes. No doubt. I agree with you there. Shout outs for the offensive side. I came down his road a little bit preseason week number one. Matt Breida had himself a decent day. Actually, some chunks on the ground and through the air. Caught two passes for 25 yards, including one for 24 yards on the ground on seven carries at a 12-yard rush. Matt Breida deserves a shout overall. Cam Latu actually caught three passes. Good for him.
Stop it.
He also put the ball on the ground once, which was not good. But he did catch three, which is an improvement.
He's so bad. He's so bad.
This is supposed to be a positive segment, but I absolutely ruined it. That's all my fault, and I apologize.
Talk about Braden Willis. He was much better. Much better.
Yeah, he didn't drop any. He had three targets and three catches. Way to go.
There you go. Played
Willis.
A good enough backup fullback today. Didn't get blown up by a defender. Good stuff.
Way to
good
go. Stuff. Way to go. Yeah. Shout outs for all the backup tight ends. Shout out to Eric Saubert as well, who's probably going to win the tight end two job.
Jake Tungus.
He had a nice catch.
He had three
catches, actually. So, yeah. Backup tight end. It's a tough battle right now on this 49er roster. All right, Sterling. That's all we got time for tonight. A pleasure, as always, being with you. A little bit of programming news. We will not have overtime for you after preseason game number three on Friday of this weekend. But we'll be back for Monday Night Football, Niners and Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. That's going to be fun. We will be with you after that game on Monday night. Sterling, until then, it's been fun. I'm looking forward to Monday night against the Jets. And until then, I guess we'll talk later, all right?
I can't wait, man. Week one of the NFL season cannot come soon enough.
Yes.
Football is back! I want to hit something! It's back!
Maybe by the time we talk next, Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk will be playing football. Fingers crossed. I certainly
hope
so.
They got 2 weeks. Figure it out, John. Figure it out, Kyle.
Figure it out. All right. That's Sterling Bennett. My name is Mark Randy signing off. For Ken Luttrell behind the glass making us sound good all night long, we appreciate his work. To all you guys for tuning in, we appreciate it as well. We'll catch up with you post-game Monday Night Football week number one when overtime does return. Until then, it's Mark Randy signing off. Have a good night.
For all contest rules, go to 957thegame.com/rules.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up! And call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Lowe's knows are great.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.